If you were going to make a hometown terrarium of Mesa, Arizona, our hometown.
Mesa. Okay. Here's what it would be.
Okay.
It would be, like an intersection. And so there's Abco, which is the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have, this is something I've never seen anywhere else. Big, those things that, like a barrel that you would age, you know, something in.
Okay.
Just a big, huge barrel. And then they would have beans and stuff in it. And you could stick your arm all the way down in there, like pinto beans in a big, huge barrel.
In the grocery store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my hometown. Just a barrel of beans.
Wow.
I think I got screamed at by somebody who worked at the grocery store for sticking my arms in the beans. But I was like, but you don't understand how cool this is. I can do like snow angels in these beans.
My question is why you're not doing that, supermarket man.
Get over here. Thank.
Don't knock it before you try it.
This is Emily Thomas, and you're listening to the Struggle Well Project podcast. Still working on whether or not I think I need to say a podcast after that. Hey ladies, you are listening to the Struggle Well Project, the show dedicated to helping you not run away from home. Each week, I do my very best to make sure that you learn something new, laugh a whole lot, and remember that you're already enough. I'm gonna be real honest with you and say that this week was so bad in my own life. Why you say what terrible thing happened? Nothing. I was just so sad and tears kept coming out of my eyes at inopportune moments, and I could hardly get out of bed for no reason. Okay, so I just want to say this week, if you are not doing well, that doesn't mean you're bad. It doesn't mean you're broken. It might just mean you're having a bad week. And also, don't worry about me. I'm fine. I pulled out of it. I don't know. Some days are just off. Some weeks are just off. So give yourself a break if you're having a hard time. So last week, I talked to my friend Teresa Swanstrom Anderson, and we talked about how to wait with intention. How do you make your home a sanctuary affordably? And the unusual but super fun and impactful dinner parties that Teresa has. So if you did not get to listen to that one last week, make sure to circle back and tune in. This is episode 152, and I'm talking to Chantel Runnels. But before we get started, I wanted to mention that at the top of the show, you heard my sister talking about beans, her really interesting fixation on beans, and how really beans represents our whole hometown to her. That was super fascinating. And I love that I get to record these and she doesn't get to defend herself. So I gotta say, this week on Patreon, we have finished doing our recap of the show that we're doing. And so we asked the Patreon supporters, what show do you want us to recap next? And they basically all were like, please stop recapping shows. What? It was so not what I was expecting. But I'm so glad to know that it was like a wah wah. We hate this. No offense. Please don't ever do it again. So funny and humbling, but it's okay. It's okay. I'm okay. Everybody's okay. We're okay. We're going to make it through this. So I think we're going to just maybe do some topical stuff, maybe pick out some topics and research them. And I don't even know what's coming next with Patreon, but it will very apparently not be show recaps. Oh my gosh. The cool thing about Patreon is it is a community that we get to do extra special interaction with. Also, there's things kind of like Instagram stories or Snapchat that only the Patreon people get to see. And so we're doing some behind the scenes stuff. My sister gets on there. She says snarky stuff about me. I delete it, you know, because I'm the big sister. And then I say snarky stuff about her and change the password when she tries to do anything about it, you know? So anyway, it really is a good time. And we have about 150 supporters and so fun. We have a good time with them. So if you want to join them in their revolt against recaps, head to patreon.com/strugglewellproject and you can get in there and tell us how you feel too. Okay, it's review of the week time. Guys, reviewing helps the show grow, and super shame on you if you haven't. Just kidding. It's not nice to shame people, but shame on you. This week, Rossin A said, "This podcast is so refreshing and funny. Emily is so gifted in teaching and encouraging. I love it." I was wondering if we could be best friends, Ross and A. Thank you though, for reals, I appreciate these. It is helpful to know when I'm on the right track. It's also helpful to know when I'm super off the right track with the recaps. I get it. I may be a little tender about that, it's fine. So my guest this week, like I said, is Chantel Runnels. She has a very interesting story of the path that she has taken as she followed God. We are so very different in our personalities that I was very honest about the time she was making me very nervous about the things she was saying that she was doing. But it's so good, you guys, for us to talk to people who make choices that we think are interesting instead of just deciding ahead of time that they're all wrong. And we even talk about what's it like when you are thinking outside the box and people in the church are giving you the side eye. Chantel has a lot of great things to say that will hopefully encourage you, but also challenge you in some of the assumptions you have about finances and travel and how to engage with your community.
All right, let's get started. And it's Chantel or?
Chantel.
Okay, yeah. Because I have a feeling where I live would be Chantel.
Yes. So.
Okay. All right. And Runnels, right?
Yeah, Runnels. So that might come up in the right lightning round too. So that's my name. But my husband's name, his last name is Beats.
Okay.
So I kept my last name. So I don't know if that's going to be unpopular. If we need to go like Chantel Beats, that's fine.
But oh, I don't care.
Anybody who knows me knows that's not my name. So.
Oh, I see.
They know like I'm the like anomaly.
So talk to me about that though. I'd be interested to hear about that.
Yeah. You know, like it didn't start like hyper theological, except for the fact I'm like, it messes with my mind to change my name. And as much as there are a lot of traditions I actually do like, I'm like, this, does anybody else not feel like it's just this weird, like my degree, like every job I've applied for, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, then why doesn't he change his name? I'm like, why does everybody have to know my marital status before they actually know me? So
okay,
not in like a feminist way, but in a just real, like, yeah, I don't know why I have to change my name.
Okay.
So that's how it started. And, you know, we've been married 10 years. So, you know.
So apparently that doesn't make or break the success of
it doesn't make or break.
Interesting.
You know, it might cause if somebody else, like we counsel a lot of like new couples. And so if somebody else brings it up, things can get a little, you know, testy. But
your husband's fine with it. Because I think for me, my husband, which I was totally fine changing my name.
Yeah.
I really didn't care.
Yeah.
But my husband would have not been down with it if I was like, I'm keeping my name.
I know. And actually, Chris, he's like, you know what? If you want, like, why don't I just hyphenate my name and I can take, you know, I can have Runnels in my name too, you know, and then we can just hyphenate all the kids' names or we can just have like a long family name. Like, you know, how do you want to do this? And I was like, well, you know, I don't know. You're a lot more like Jesus than me, apparently, but I'm just going to keep my name for now. He's like, okay.
So funny. Hyphenating seems so complicated.
Yes. And it doesn't come off like Catherine Zeta-Jones. It just comes off Chantel Rose Runnels Bates. And it's like, what's happening? It's just like, who is actually going to come to the front of the line? Yeah, they'll never know. So.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Okay, well, will you tell us about your family, which we already know is pretty interesting. I love, by the way, that you're drinking out of a broken coffee cup.
This is also my life, Broken Dreams, Davis, California. But we won't talk about that now because I might scare people away.
Oh my gosh.
It might be too sad.
So funny. Did you buy that cup like that?
No, actually. Okay. I bought it when we thought we were going to move to Davis and Chris is going to work at UC Davis. And it was up. We were living in somebody else's home for 2 months. And it was crazy because it was just there. Like, I didn't even use it. I'm like, yeah, Temple Coffee Roasters. This is where we'll visit, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Like, this will be our stomping grounds. And, you know, it was getting close to the time where we should have heard back. And Lord, like, what's going on? Are we going to move? What are we going to do? Something happened where the marker board, as it was on, fell. The cup fell on the floor and the handle broke before we found out what was going to happen. I was like, I'm not like an almond person, but I was. Chris, I was like, does this mean my dreams? And sure enough, like 2 days later, we got a phone call like saying like, you know what? Actually, we decided to go in another direction. And then we got on a train and got out of California and rode across the country.
So back when we moved to Dallas a couple years ago, I didn't know who to hire to get us here from Arizona. And I know that it's been a long time, but I need to tell you, every time I walk by my grandma's piano, I notice that it's broken because the movers weren't great. And every time I eat in my dining room, I notice that there's a giant scrape across the whole top of this beautiful wood because I did not know how to choose good movers. I just chose whoever I found first on the internet. That was not smart. But you know what is smart? going to ZipRecruiter.com/SWP to hire the right person. Totally should have done that. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. It has powerful matching technology that scans thousands of resumes. It identifies people that have the skills you need, the education you need, and the experience that's going to be perfect for your job. And then it actively invites them to apply so you get qualified candidates quickly. That's why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. My listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/SWP. That's ZipRecruiter.com/SWP. ZipRecruiter.com/SWP. ZipRecruiter. It's the smartest way to hire.
Okay, hold it. There's like so much there. You were in California and you were going to move to a different part of California.
Yes.
And then that was a no. And so then you got on a train. Why was that the next logical?
Well, because we had been living with a family we had just met. We actually didn't know them at all for 2 months because you know how you, what's her name? You read those romantic books about how people throw their things in storage, sell all they have, pack all these little clothes for their kids, and then they discover the world. But that kind of happened by accident because we had to resign from a job. But I was like, look, the Lord is giving me this opportunity. So after it didn't work out at Davis, we're like, you know what? Let's just hit the road. So we packed up, went to the Amtrak station and got one of those cross-country tickets.
No.
And spent half of, like, I feel like a week just trying to get through Texas. The train even went by, what's that store that you can only, like, drive through and it's not really closed and only has left shoes in it.
What?
It's at, like, that little museum in Texas, that art. It's actually an art installation.
Oh, I don't even know.
Anyways, the train goes past that one. I'll have to text it to you later. Yeah. Shoot. But anyways, so that's what we did. And we spent the next couple months traveling, you know, waiting to see what was going to be the next story, the next journey or whatever.
Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm a details person. So where did you stay at night? Like what was your plan? How did you make money? What's happening?
The first couple, it takes like maybe 3-4 days to get across the country. So we would stay with friends. We'd stay with family. Okay. We really didn't stay like at a hotel or anything like that. We couch surfed, we floored, and we're a family of five. At the time, my youngest was maybe 6 months old.
Heaven's sakes, you are freaking out so many moms right now. Wow.
Yeah. Well, I would freak out myself when I was a new mom. I had those bassinets you can carry like a purse, mm-hmm. you know, and zip up. I sure did like unzip that mug and put it on the floor when he wanted to go to sleep on the train. And then he slept in the bassinet on the floor. I mean, I like did spray the floor with like Lysol before I put him down.
Well, that's great.
But, yeah.
I've never sprayed things with Lysol. That's really.
but I was like, man, like we just did it. I packed 7 outfits. 2 shoes. Everybody got 1 small suitcase, your favorite books, and we're going to hit the road. If you can't carry it, then you're not bringing it. Everything else we threw in the storage that could fit in a $100 like storage unit.
Okay.
And that's it. And we just hit the road. And
as you traveled, were you like praying for direction? Like what was the point of hitting the road? It was just like,
well, to see people, to spend time with each other as a family. We had come off of college athletics. It's just a really full life.
Oh, so what does your husband do?
He's a coach and an athletic trainer. So he has 2 trades. Okay. But he, at the time, had been operating as a strength coach. And what's even more interesting is that while we were waiting for the UC Davis opportunity, he was working with our U.S. men's and women's volleyball team, the indoor volleyball team. And so we almost thought we were going to Rio. We're like, okay, maybe when the mug broke, this is because we're actually going to go to Rio. You know, even though there's danger of being bitten by the mosquitoes and stuff and everybody's, but the Lord blocked that too. So when both those things happened, that's when we said, you know what? We're just going to get on a train. Let's go see some people that we haven't seen in a long time. Let's just explore. Let's spend some time together as a family, really get to know each other in all these different spaces, live minimally and simply. And we had a blast.
That's great. So how are your kids with all that?
Oh, they're awesome. Because the thing is, we live a highly integrated life. And so we've traveled a lot with them. They're used to me saying, you know what, like, screw this. We're actually going to LA for the day. Because I want to eat salt and straw. And they're like, okay, you know. At times, I think it gives my oldest anxiety. He's like, okay, so how long are we going to be in traffic? You know, like okay. How old is he? He's 9 now.
Okay.
So he is more aware of my shenanigans. And so.
And sees them as such.
Yes. He's like, no, Mom. You want ice cream? Let's just go down the street. Like, okay.
So much less fun, but fine.
I know. My youngest, you know, I was nursing still at the time and he was still in diapers, but with Honest, anywhere we were, I just changed the address and the diapers got delivered there. So that was fine. I feel like they had a lot of shared memories that I just couldn't give them. I couldn't artificially, you know, create that would foster their friendship. So for instance, by the time we got to New Orleans, they were off on the train, like with the conductor at every stop saying all aboard and like being in charge of like making sure like everybody's getting back on the train. So
I love that.
I so many things were fostered that like I couldn't create confidence and engaging with strangers and, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. So
and how long were you gone? No, I hear you. I mean,
Well, we left California at the end of July. We didn't come back until maybe the end of October. We left again, came back in January, which in retrospect was premature, I feel, because then we slept on my girlfriend's couch for almost like 2 months.
Wow.
But that was still good. Okay. Like there was still so much good from that. It was one of those things where that Oprah talks about all the time where she's proud of herself because even when it was really, really bad, she knew that where she was now, she would not always be. Mm-hmm. And I think that if anything, one of the things that this experience taught me was that like we are so blessed. Literally, our family, and I tried to, you know, really coach Chris and Claire through this, our tribe and community runs so deep. I mean, they would not have to sleep on the same couch twice, like if they were in trouble.
Yeah.
And so, and really understanding that, yeah, where we were then, we're nowhere near there right now. So being able to take everything in that moment for what it is, as hard as it was, you know? So yeah, but it was good.
Okay. How long ago was that? What's the resolution?
Oh, that was 2 years ago. That was 2016. And so now we've been in our space that we've been in for about a year.
Okay.
Almost a year and a half. And we're on the precipice of change here. Well, there's just more nuances to the story, I think, that are going to unfold. I don't think anything's super dramatic, but I don't know. We'll see.
Okay, so your husband's working where now?
We work for ourselves now.
Ooh, okay. Y'all are giving me stress. Okay, go ahead.
Yes. So we started our own high performance and wellness company.
Cool.
This was after trying like a nonprofit route that really didn't work out too well. And so with that, we can do everything from athletic training, strength and conditioning. I'm thinking that once I legitimize my doula services, in the sense where if I want to do it to make money, then I can run it through that as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what we do. We're just living the gig life and it's very freeing.
Good. You love it.
Yeah, I do. And it's still very unnerving because to get off of the 10th and 25th assembly line, you just realize, oh, I'm not confined by that or limited.
Tell me,
by
what's
that.
10th and 25th?
Like, you know, like when you get paid twice a month.
Oh, get it. So, okay, like, sorry. Yes.
At one of our last jobs, those were the days, you know.
Okay.
And you can fall into that rut. I know I did. So to just be in a space where it's like, oh, actually, like you don't die if you actually only get paid like every other month. Like, you know, just things that for me and falling into like some of this Western mindset, I would get anxiety.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, so a lot of those things were broken in that season for sure.
Okay. So it's interesting you would say to fall into the Western mindset because like that's where you're from, right? Like we're all, so talk to me about how you discovered that it's something that you could fall out of.
I think, I started traveling at a young age.
Because like you're from New York, right?
I'm from New York.
Okay.
My mom is from Jamaica. So, you know, I left the country before I was 5.
Okay.
But the first time I traveled by myself, I was out the country, like without my parents. I was 14. And I think some of that world paradigm shifting and, you know, things happen. But I think for me, once life starts going not the way you planned, And the way they told you, if you do this, then you do, this will happen. You know, it's like when you choose history pre-med as your major and then you go to take your MCATs and you're like, what is this stuff? I feel like I've never seen this before. Suddenly you realize you can fall out of things very quickly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that's it. I think there's just been this constant sifting of my values and of my perspective that really have lent me to see the way you think now, you don't always have to think. Mm-hmm. So, and being okay with that and not being like, oh my goodness, if I ask these questions, which is real, right? If I ask these questions, like, does that mean I don't believe? Or does that mean like I'm not hopeful? Or does that mean I'm not loyal or, you know?
Yeah, I was going to ask, how does that fit in with your faith?
Man, it changed everything. It did. And so what that looks like is I come from a tradition where they don't believe in infant baptism, for instance.
Okay.
And my husband, he's like a charcuterie board of like religious tradition.
Okay.
And so we attended a church that we love, love, love. It was the first church we found when we were engaged and married. And they were like, hey, like, you know, you guys can get little Chris baptized, blah, 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 blah. And it was like at that moment where like we had to confront like, okay, what do we really think about this? Mm-hmm. And as we were processing different teachings on it, I just started bawling. It was like 6:30 in the morning at the breakfast table. And I was like, Chris, it just feels like I'm changing. And he's like, maybe that's a good thing. Like, maybe that's okay. And so that was one of the most pivotal moments, I think, in my young adult life, just realizing that if you get outside the box and just at least ask questions, like, it's okay. That's a part of actually how Jesus discipled, you know? So it's actually now become a huge part of my faith.
How do you know what to challenge and what stays sacred and not challengeable? I mean, personally, I think everything's challengeable, but how do you know what to? I just feel like you can take it so far. And I think there's a freedom and there's something really valuable about testing God's promises and kind of jumping up and down on them and seeing if they hold.
Yes.
But then I also see that we are swayed by a culture that's saying anything goes.
Right.
So talk to me about how you walk that line.
I walk it. I don't know if I walk it very well. Right. You'd have to ask my kids. Like, wait a minute. Didn't you just say? And I'm like, yeah, but now.
But now it's different. And we're going to ice cream.
Yes. Be happy. I hold fast to how Paul talks about, like, what you've already known to become true about Jesus, what he's established. And for me, I take that as what you've tested in him, you know, what you've seen, like, this is true. God has not let me down in this area. After helping women through birth, after visiting other parts of the world, when some of those, even the smallest nuances become confirmed, right? I can't explain to you how this happens, or I can't. For me, those are some of those big rocks that I can't move. And so I think maybe even as I question things, I've given myself grace to not understand, to be okay with not understanding, as opposed to having to have the, this is what it is, and this is why we believe, and this is what we're going to do. And so being okay and realizing I can't put God in a box. I can believe what he's told me about himself and then go from there. But I think that's, and parenting for sure is the sieve of that. I don't know. Let's look it up. And if we can't look it up, being okay with, you know, and I think that's okay. I think it lends to creativity, imagination. And I think it makes room for miracles.
I agree with that.
If I can explain it, then why do I even need God?
Yeah.
To a certain extent, right? Not to be all like, I mean, we see things about who he says and how the Holy Spirit and Jesus and how they all operate. And so I hold to that, but I'm okay not being able to explain how he was able to produce wine that should have taken years to make in a moment.
Like super good wine. Yeah.
Super good wine. And I really appreciated that once I became an adult. I don't know why they tell kids these stories as if like we should appreciate the grandeur of that moment. Yeah. I'm like, what? Jesus turned water into wine. What about the flower girls? you know, it's not a miracle you can appreciate when you're younger.
Yeah,
but
no.
Now that I'm older, I'm like, yes, yes, let me have something in this world I can't explain. I can't put in a petri dish because that's how large and vast.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Okay. So I have a couple follow-up questions for that. Number one, what are the big rocks? There's a lot of listeners who I have who are really new to all this. It feels weird and confusing. So what are some big rocks that are non-negotiable? You've seen it over and over.
I mean, most immediately, just speaking my own experience, is the faithfulness of God. Knowing that there is someone, even in our darkest hour, in our most painful moment, who I always have access to, who is not embarrassed by me, who is not ashamed of me, whose chest is big enough for me to pound my fist on.
I love that.
And who shows up time and time again through the people around me. So that faithfulness, that presence is the biggest rock. And even when it feels far away, and it has at times, you know, I can think especially like with things like postpartum, everybody really feels far away. But I think when I've had my shoulders turned around to the light, when somebody has said, hey, like fix your face this way, which again comes from people around me, it's like, oh, he's still here and he's still moving and he's still working and he's still faithful, you know? So faithfulness is a huge, I've seen too much.
Yeah.
I've seen too much. Yes, with the brokenness. Yes, with the pain. Yes, with the current events. Yes, with, you know, trauma. In fact, that makes me believe all the more. So I'd say it's faithfulness. Yeah.
I love it. Family dinners are important, but it's also important that when dinner's on the table, everyone is not sad and angry because getting dinner on the table was hard. Not that I know that from experience, but I totally know that from experience. The good news is that HelloFresh has a family plan that includes a bunch of recipes that have already been kid tested and approved. You can be excited about cooking again because when HelloFresh gets delivered, you know that dinner just got that much easier. HelloFresh wants cooking to be simple and convenient, not a chore. So they have lots of one pot recipes for seriously speedy cooking and minimal cleanup. You can get out of the recipe rut and start cooking outside your comfort zone by discovering new and delicious recipes in each week's box. We have had HelloFresh delivered to the Thomas house several times. They had a pistachio crusted chicken that was amazing. We were legitimately licking the plates like wild animals. Not that animals use plates. That's where my analogy breaks down, but you understand what I mean. So for a total of $60 off, that's $20 off your first three boxes. Visit HelloFresh.com/SWP60 and then enter code SWP60. So again, a total of $60 off. Visit HelloFresh.com/SWP60 and enter code SWP60. Okay, so my other question is, with all this outside the box thinking, do you find other Christ followers giving you the side eye? And what do you do about it?
Yes. after they do that, I find a GIF for the, or do you say GIF? I find a GIF for how I'm feeling at the moment. And my favorite one right now is like the one where like Beyonce is like dancing.
Okay.
And I'm like, I'm free. And you're not.
Oh.
No, no, no. No, but it's challenging. I mean, some of the side eye has been from really intimate relationships. So I can think of, you know, a time early in our marriage and our story where we, you know, went carless for a whole year.
Okay.
And we weren't, you know, putting towards a 401k, and we were sharing cards with other people, living communally and sharing meals weekly. And we even had a wedding in our home at that time too. God gave me a picture, spoke something to Chris. Next thing you know, we had a homeless family, like right off the street who I just met the day before, living in my son's room. So a lot of those things got us the side eye. Because, and this is what I mean, maybe even about the Western mindset. We weren't following somebody's, you know, steps to financial success and peace.
Yeah.
We weren't, it seemed like our values were actually conflicting with what would be wise and what would be safe. And so I think because he has shown me how far I have come, he reminds me to hold space for other people and understanding, hey, maybe in this situation, you don't eat the bacon. Because this person is really still hung up on people eating bacon, or maybe in this situation, you know what I mean? So whatever it is, understanding that I may have to lay down my liberty for a conversation. And sometimes it's just been, I've been compelled, like, no, we need to have a, let me explain to you. And let me show you how this actually works in my family. Cause I think you only have seen one side. And precisely, I mean, 2016 for us was another very, I don't want to say tumultuous, but it was very, you know, exciting
yeah.
year where people had a lot of questions. And when invited to the table, it's like, let's explain to you more about what's happening, whether it's the idea of at that time, like raising support and waiting and being okay and not like different things where it, we just got a lot of side eyes, mm-hmm. but holding space for people and really remembering how far I've come, okay. you know, the most important things. Yeah.
What filter do you kind of sift things through when you are making these choices? Like, because obviously there's wisdom in stewardship of our finances.
For
sure. Obviously there's wisdom in opening our home. But like you said, sometimes they do feel like they're in opposition to each other, but they're both good.
Yeah.
You seem to pick the opposite one that most people would pick. How, I mean, I'm not saying they're wrong, but I am saying like it's raising my blood pressure. So
no, yeah. Look, Emily, let me tell you this. If I'd be listening to this right now when I was like 15 or 18, I'd probably need either a lot of Xanax or something else. just because like, I understand. I think the biggest truth that I sift these things through and that we sift these things through is the revelation that the kingdom of God, the economy of the kingdom of God does not run on the US dollar. Mm. One of my favorite movies and then all the mini series in between would be The Matrix.
Okay.
The biggest thing God has taught me is that like I made trees that you turn into paper and then you die and then you place a value on. And so do we steward the resources he gives us? Yes. People would look at the widow with two, you know, mites and say, you probably should have kept that so that you could buy food for your kids and not have to use societal safety nets. Mm. And at that moment, Jesus said, actually, no, she realized like her future wasn't in those two mites.
Yeah.
And so knowing that if I'm going to fully engage and swim out into deeper waters, I gotta let go of the confines of how I used to operate. Yeah. And I think there's only certain fish you see when you go far from the shore. Mm. There's only certain depths and colors and engagements and beauty that you can experience. There's beauty on the shore too. Don't get me wrong, right? There's beauty close in the sand and where it's safe and waves won't take you down. But there's still some things you just can't see simply because the water's too shallow.
Yeah. And I think also the resources that we want to talk about stewarding are always money. But you're stewarding resources yes. that are completely other, yes. eternal, yes. arguably, yes. a way bigger yes. deal.
So we look at in our family, we define resources in five ways: physical, relational, intellectual, financial, and spiritual. And just because we see that as Jesus outlines and as we look at how he spends resources, it's funny. I asked Chris last night, I'm like, wait a minute, was Jesus a socialite? Was he just like going around meeting people for coffee, like hanging out, talking about things, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm like, what? We see that financial capital, that resource, while it's important, is never higher than any of the other ones. Mm-hmm. He will use that and leverage that for the other ones. And so he doesn't define moments, his time with people by that. Yeah. And I think for us, that was the game changer.
Okay. How do you stay with that mindset? Especially, I struggle with this living in California. Yeah. How do you stay focused on this?
It's challenging. It becomes easier. I think about, I like to ride my road bike, and it's one of those, the more you engage in it, it becomes easier to understand and believe, and you start really seeing things differently. I allow myself to be sobered. You know, I allow myself to be humbled. I allow myself to, or I'm forced to, you know, pry open my hands, but I feel like I haven't been able to experience a lot of things with my fist clenched. It's been more of a cupping where you can scoop up water from a stream and be able to drink some, but your hands are open enough where some can still fall through. And I think I stay in knowing that my dad tells me this all the time. He said, your kids will never be like, oh man, like, thank you for this thing you bought me. Remember that time you bought me this thing? They say they'll remember the time. Mm. And so actually something that helps me is listening to older people.
No kidding.
Listening to, you know what I mean? Like, even if they're just a few years older, but listening to people who have seen that we survived this, we moved through this, actually that falls away. And I think now I'm getting to a place in my life where I'm truly, truly am seeing the gems and listening to people who've gone before.
Okay. I love it. I'm excited to tell you about a new sponsor of the show, Handy. Handy is the most reliable name in house cleaning. It offers an easy and convenient way to book home cleanings on a schedule that works for you. Over 3 million cleanings have been done using Handy. And with their clear upfront pricing, you see exactly what you're going to pay. And then you pay securely on the app, so you don't need to worry about cash or checks. All you do is say the number of bedrooms and bathrooms, pick the date and time. You get to tell them your cleaning priorities so they know exactly what's most important to you. And they'll match you with one of their top rated cleaning professionals. And then you can read reviews on them and see which one you'd like to hire. I've used Handy to have someone come and clean my house. The app was so easy to use. I loved the lady who came. She was so easy to work with and she did an excellent job. To get your first 3-hour cleaning for $39 when you sign up for a plan, visit handy.com/SWP and then use promo code SWP during checkout. Recurring charge terms and conditions apply, and visit handy.com to learn more. So again, that's 3-hour cleaning for $39 at handy.com/SWP. And the promo code is also SWP. You told me that one of the things that surprised you about motherhood was how much you liked it and mm-hmm. how much it's changed you. But something that you said that I really loved, you said that once you jumped all in to motherhood, mm-hmm. it completely changed your experience.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask, because you do feel from the knowing you that I have for, 34 minutes, you feel like someone who is all in general. So what was kind of holding you back in motherhood in the beginning? And like, how did you get all in? That's the reason I started the show, was because I did not like motherhood. I was not good at motherhood and I wanted out. And so this show helped me get more all in. I'd say I'm largely all in. It's still not my favorite thing. So talk to me about that experience for you.
My oldest came into my story a little earlier than I anticipated. And I think that was the catalyst for plot twist, and really forcing me to sift through values exponentially faster than I anticipated. And so I went from a job where I was interacting with adults all the time. I used to work in entertainment. And so I staffed and I hired for the studios and networks. So I used to work in Burbank. And so HR, highly engaging. But being, once I decided, okay, I can't commute 3 hours a day, even if I put my kid in daycare at Disney, or my bosses were like, we'll turn one of the offices into a nursery for you.
Oh, wow.
My husband worked like North Long Beach, Compton, and it was just like, okay, we felt like, all right, let me just take a break. Let's do this for now and let's see. And it was once my husband went back to work, you know, you try the tricks, right? You watch Oprah, you turn on talk radio. Like you go outside for your walks and you're like, this is still not working. You know, the thing that was the game changer that kept me from being all in, because you're right about your perception. I generally have been an all in person. You know, I'm one of those who I was taking my PSATs in the 7th grade because I was all in, you know,
wow.
But I needed to grieve.
Okay.
I needed to grieve the way things were so that I could accept the way things as they are and plan for how I wanted them to be. Mm-hmm. And realizing that grief isn't this big, scary word. Like it was okay to say, I really didn't plan to do this until after 35 and I was going to have a Porsche and a penthouse in Manhattan. And then maybe if I was interested in a guy, we'd get married, but I'd already frozen my eggs so I could still have kids. I mean, what I mean to tell you, I am not the person. I'm not the person. My values have shifted. Uh-huh. And so jumping all in meant, hey, Chantel, he is here and he's not waiting for you to get your act together.
Yeah.
Like you're going to the 2nd month checkup. You're going to the 4th, the 6th, the 10th. And it seems like he's moving on with his life. Well, you're still here. Like, oh my, you know, everything is so awful. I had to have a C-section and I hate this, and which is all really valid. But instead of stopping there. That's what would happen is I would stop at that place and revisit it. I never fully engaged in the whole event so that I could grieve and then so that I can say, okay, I had a C-section and it wasn't what I wanted.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
Yeah.
And I'm sad. And, you know, and really just, but now it's done.
Okay.
And it's okay. And now my son is here and he's healthy and we can move on. And so that, I think that was the thing about jumping all the way in is grieving the way things were, realizing what they are so I can choose to what I wanted, you know, where I wanted to go. So.
Yeah, that's really good. Because I think we don't want to grieve it because that also means accepting that it's the new normal, but you can't move on if you don't.
Right, right. For me, I had to accept that as an achiever or a perfectionist or a planner, something happened that I apparently didn't plan for. And things in life will keep happening that you don't plan for. And so I can either keep getting all hung up about the things I don't plan for, or I can just, oh, okay. Like this is what happens.
Yeah.
And it's okay. And wrestling with that and acknowledging, wow, Chantel, you have some really sucky thoughts about motherhood. Like, oh my goodness. Like maybe you should tell somebody about this out loud, you know, like really talking to myself and saying like, it's okay. Instead of pretending that I don't have these sucky thoughts.
No kidding.
I'm like, Chris, so I don't want you to be alarmed, but I may really hate this right now.
Yeah.
And that alone sometimes is so freeing.
Absolutely.
It's more freeing. And that's just like, oh, okay. And especially if you tell somebody else, it's like, oh, you too. And it allows you to move on from that place instead of staying in this place like, oh my goodness, I can't even dare to say it out loud that this is not what I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Man, this is not what I thought it'd be. You know, and going from there. And the more I've been able to do that, the more free I think I've been able to live.
Absolutely. And make other people free too. Just by
yes.
That. Yeah. So good.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I have a question and I might take this out, but talk to me about Oprah because she troubles me because of, is she a Christian? Is she just, it seems so just like ethereal and spiritual. And it, to me, it feels concerning. So talk to me about that.
I love it. No, that's okay. Also anybody who knows me will say, you'll hear me say mostly facetiously, my pastor, Oprah.
Okay.
You know, as my pastor Oprah said, I think she's a believer. I think she's a believer. I think even with that, I've come a long way with trying to hold my litmus test up to see, you know, are you, your pH is a little, you know, all right, you're a believer. We have a saying, Chris and I, take the meat and leave the bones. And we use that voraciously with everything. Even when we get into pretty colorful verbal conversations, we realize, okay, while I'm vomiting on you verbally, there's actually some really good stuff in here.
Mm.
And being able to sift through that, I think, also has lent to me gleaning from wisdom from people who didn't even know they were sharing it with me.
Instead of shutting down.
Right, because I used to do that.
Yeah.
I used to do that. And depending on people, you know, whether what religion they are, what denomination they are, that could shut the conversation all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized I'm really missing out.
Yeah.
I'm really missing out. And motherhood was another thing that taught me that because I realized it caused me to realize something I hadn't noticed before. And that's how often people negate things that kids say.
Mm.
Motherhood helped me realize that what else could I be negating? Because I have these qualifications in my mind of, well, if you have this degree or if you went to this school, because that's what I was driven to. Yeah, you have your MD, you know, but what school did you go to? Who did you study under?
Yeah. So I tend to be just so concerned with right and appropriate and all these things that I, out of fear, my instinct is just say, this doesn't fit into my framework. We're done here. So I'm trying, but it's so confusing and hard and scary.
It is. And I am a lot like that. I'm a lot like that. And
it doesn't seem like it.
And so I have to fight. I have to fight all the time because, I mean, homeschooling, that was another thing. Again, right is me paying attention to my career that my parents paid for my degree and, you know, making a certain amount of money so I can send them to the best private schools. And when I pick them up when they're 18, I'm going to drop them off at another private school that's covered in ivy. I'll pick them up when they're 22, maybe 24, because they decided to go right into their master's. And yes, you're going to do this. You fulfilled the American dream. Here you go. You know, cover of times, top 100 kids or whatever. Honestly.
Yeah.
But that's always been me. Studying for my PSATs, taking them early, taking my SATs early, making sure I got a certain, you know, score. Applying to colleges, 10th grade, 11th grade. So I was always very concerned with doing things right, mm-hmm. appropriate. I participated in a cotillion.
For heaven's sakes.
Exactly. Yes. You understand, Emily. I mean, we can go there. We can go there. Like, I can set a table like it's nobody's business. But my youngest son has currently taught me that, Mom, who needs a table? You know, the third born. Mom, who needs a table? I can just, aren't I just eating the food? Like, in other countries, don't people eat with their hands? I'm like, that's besides the point. What you need to do is you need to pick up the fork like I taught you, not like a shovel. You need to hold it like your pencil. Mm, see, Emily, yeah. I can get carried away. See, he's still working on me.
Yeah,
he's still, and that's what I hope comes across, because I realize some of my personality, the strengths are in wanting to be right, appropriate, having morals, having a standard people can look to say, this is how we're going to treat each other. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think we have a lot of strengths in that. But I also realize that I don't know if Jesus had a bucket of Purell when he was breaking the bread and fish. And I think that's okay.
Yeah.
You know? Yes. And I feel like if I would have been on the mount, like, sorry, has this been made in a factory that has peanuts and pine nuts? You know, I feel like, yeah, that wouldn't have been the time for that, because this is time for a miracle.
Yeah.
And so recognizing maybe when it's time for a miracle, it's just time for a miracle.
Okay.
Step into it. Have fun with it and let it scare you. And let it make you think, oh no, I think I'm changing.
Oh man, this has been quite convicting. Like, yes.
I homeschool my kids. You don't understand. This should not be happening. So I mean to tell you that that's another rock to know that, like, this life is real. This God is real. I see what he has done in my own life. Uh-huh. And that alone is evidence that for me, I feel like Nicodemus in a way, and or maybe even Zacchaeus, if I can change, right?
Yeah.
If I can still learn something new, even after I've done all the studying and have sifted through all the research, remember those books where it says, I used to pick them up from Barnes & Noble, like America's top 100 colleges and, uh-huh. you know, the top 10 this. That I used to study those. I could tell you, like, as you know, so I was all about being formulaic, and if I did my life a certain way, then I would have these results.
Okay.
But when you let him wreck you, yeah, you'll never be the same again.
Okay. Huh. I love it. So good. Thank you so much for making me incredibly uncomfortable. It's good.
You know, yeah, I was hoping we'd get off on a better foot, but you know.
No, it's really good. And yeah, very good. Okay, but now I want to do the lightning round.
Okay.
Where I ask you questions that make no real difference, but are fun.
Okay.
Okay. So number one, what is your dream car?
Porsche 911.
Okay. What color?
Gray blue.
Okay. Still
leather interior.
Still your dream car?
It's still my dream car.
Okay. What is the most annoying question people ask you?
Ugh, it has to do with homeschool.
Okay. What do they ask you?
It's like, well, how do your kids socialize?
Oh.
And yeah. I'm like, they're not dogs. They're humans. I don't understand. How do you socialize? Like, you're in your office all day at a cubicle. Like, please do tell. And then you sit in your car. Please tell me. Sorry. He's still working on me. I'm trying not to be
that
smart.
That is so funny. Yeah.
That is the most annoying question. But I understand it because I used to ask the same thing. But if you see my kids, and there's nothing wrong with jean dresses, but my kids don't wear jean dresses, or, you know, they, in fact, I barely buy sustainable clothing. So please don't troll me.
Yeah, I think we were doing like a homeschool half and half model, and and that was the big concern too. But I think honestly, if you're social, your kids are going to be social. And if you're a weirdo, your kids are going to be a weirdo. It really doesn't matter where they go to school.
Exactly. I'm like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't, but I understand. Like, nobody ever asked me, Chantal, are you actually good at math? Like, yeah,
they don't
Chantal, can you write? Nobody asked me actually the important questions about what education is. And so then that's another thing. It's like, how are you defining education? Are you defining school and education by kids being able to be social?
Social.
Yeah. Or them actually learning anything? Because no one ever asked me if I'm actually competent to teach them math, reading, writing, science, social studies. Will they be socialized? Yeah. My kids can stand in a line and put their finger on their mouth and they can take a nap. Like, I don't understand. Like, he's three. I mean, because that's how early I'd get questions. Like, what are you going to do? What do you mean? What am I going to do? Like, I have a degree. Even if I didn't have a degree, you want me to pay somebody to teach him what I've been teaching him for 2 years? Like, I don't understand. That's my latte money. No. So I'm not really that holy. Like, a lot of this started from selfish motives. Like, why would I give you my latte money when I can teach him to do the same things? And then I'm already home, like, having another baby. So you manage, because my friends, a lot of my friends are teachers. My dad's a superintendent. I come from educators. So this isn't like, I'm like insensitive to these things.
Right.
And I have social workers and therapists all around me, you know?
Yeah.
But it's just like, no, they're fine. They're social. They can fly a plane by themselves across the country. Like, I mean, on a plane. They can't fly the plane. Like, not yet.
Wow. That is, you really.
No, I know. Homeschool. Like,
he's a pilot. He's three. Okay. What TV show do you refuse to watch?
Friends.
Okay.
So I know Friends is old.
Yeah.
But I was a Seinfeld fan.
Me too. Yeah.
I, to this day, still will not watch a whole episode of Friends. I can't. First of all, this show doesn't make any sense. Seinfeld makes so much more sense.
Oh, okay. It's actual life. New York. Yeah.
It's actual life. So yeah, Friends, I cannot watch.
Okay.
And then my siblings, they try to get me into those like Game of Thrones and stuff.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Okay. Can't I haven't even tried. I don't even like
can't
the looks of it. No.
No.
Okay. What is something that is considered a luxury, but you really don't want to live without it?
That's good. I mean, I think anything that brings me convenience, my car, my phone.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm like, oh, I've given up so much that I didn't know I could give up like my nails. I'm like, oh man, I'd love to have a manicure and pedicure right now. But I think any kind of technology, to be honest.
Okay.
Love technology.
What are you interested in that most people haven't even heard of?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I don't know if people haven't heard of it, but I mean, we're interested in everything from making kombucha and kefir, which now that I'm saying it out loud to you and it's being recorded, I feel like that sounds really like crunchy, but we're not as crunchy as you think. Because we definitely, like the other day I asked my kids, I was like, I don't feel like cooking dinner. Come on, we got to go. I came from a work meeting that they were at with me. I'm like, oh, like, do you want Cane's or like Hawaiian barbecue? I was like, look, why don't I just take you through Taco Bell? And my son goes, oh, Mom, I'm offended. I was like, you don't even know. I was like, Taco Bell is where it's at. That used to keep me alive in college.
No kidding.
Mom, they don't even use real beans. There's no food in that. Oh, so anyway.
Oh my, your 9-year-old sounds like a trip.
He is. He's so funny. No, so I'm always interested in that.
So kombucha and kefir, they start with, I mean, they're both like a live culture. Do they start with same culture?
No. Okay. It's different.
Okay.
I always kill it. It's my husband who keeps them alive.
Okay. So good.
I can't even take credit. I just buy the supplies.
Okay. Do your kids like it?
My son, when we used to make our own, he likes our own kombucha. He doesn't really like store-bought kombucha. Clarity loves it. Corbin, I don't know. He's kind of hit or miss. If anything carbonated or bubbly, he goes, spicy.
Yeah.
So
feels weird.
It doesn't work.
Okay. And then what is something that you cannot stop talking about right now?
Well, if it's with my sister, then it's A Handmaid's Tale.
Yes. I was thinking of starting that. Is it worth it?
It's so good. I love, and I think because I've always loved quality entertainment, but I think after working in the industry, my appreciation and just respect grew exponentially. Just understanding how hard people really work to hone their craft and the time and all of the things that have to be in place for even one scene to be shot. So understanding that. So like, for instance, because of that, I never leave the theater until the last person's name goes up on the screen, just because I understand how important their job was. And then I also try to look to see if it's anybody you know, that I hired or placed at a different studio network and say, oh, look what they're doing now, you know. Okay. But A Handmaid's Tale is so good.
Okay.
I would not recommend it for like somebody who's pregnant or is a new mother. It can be very emotionally like, yeah, but the cinematography is excellent and it's based off of a book. So, you know, they're limited and I think they do a good job, but I can't stop talking about that. I can't.
Okay.
I'm not ashamed.
Don't be. Gosh. Well, Chantel, this was a really great conversation. Thank you for talking to a perfect stranger.
Appreciate it. It was fine. Thank you.
I'm confident that you have a lot of things to think about based on what Chantel said. So what will your strategy to struggle well be this week? I loved how she said that she just can't not believe in God because she's seen too much. She's seen too much of God's faithfulness to refute it. So maybe this week, if you're feeling a little discouraged about that type of stuff, read the Bible and see all the ways that God proved his faithfulness in crazy ways. Read the Old Testament. It's loony, you guys. It is so crazy. You cannot think the Bible's boring if you're actually reading what's going on in there. But maybe you need some more stories of God's faithfulness, proving his character to be good over and over and over. So I would ask people of faith around you that if your faith is weak, ask them, what have you seen God do that you cannot refute because you've seen it yourself? And I think it is even so encouraging if we can remember what he's already done in our own lives. He's at work. He is absolutely at work. And sometimes we just don't see it. I think more often than not, we just don't see it. Maybe you struggle well this week by instead of giving someone the side eye because you feel like they're being too different than you to be allowed. It makes me think of in Harry Potter, Hagrid, the groundskeeper, they say that he's too big to be allowed. Like he just is so, so big that you're like, how can you even be that way? I think sometimes we look at people who are just doing their deal and we think, how can you even be that way? It doesn't make any sense. So maybe this week you struggle well by asking questions and humbly just saying, can you help me understand why you arrived at this decision? That it was really interesting that Chantel said she is feeling like she's being given the side eye by Christians, but that when she's invited to the table, she's very happy to explain what she's doing. Guys, let's invite more people to the table. Let's sit and listen. Let's ask questions and actually care about the answer. I also loved what Chantel said about how much she leans on older, wiser people in her life. Maybe you struggle well this week by stinking calling your grandparents or anybody that you know who's older than you and asking them some questions. How did you deal with this parenting problem or this home ownership issue or whatever? Finally, maybe you struggle well this week. You're a mom and you're trying to pretend that you love it. And you do what Chantel did and grieve how things were so you can fully be present in how things are and then get to the place that you'd like to be in the future. Because pretending is not great. So if anything Chantel said impacted you, don't keep it to yourself. Hit share and send it along to a friend who also needs this message. Just a reminder, y'all, that when you shop on Amazon, use the show's affiliate link and you'll earn a couple extra pennies for the show. That link is amazon.com/shop/strugglewellproject. If you bookmark that link, you don't even ever need to think about it again. Also, don't forget to join me on the socials at Struggle Well Project. And it's not just me that you'll be joining, though. You will join a gaggle of other women just like you who are working on this Struggle Well project called life. All right, ladies, let me pray for our week. Lord, I pray for these sweet women who are just trying to struggle well, Lord. What is even going on? We do not know. God, I pray for the ladies who are down and they are crying and they don't even know why. God, would you help them keep their eyes on you and depend on you and just do the next right thing? Please send them some encouragement today that they did not even see coming. You are that good. God, I pray for those of us who have a tendency to get judgy and give people a side eye instead of stopping and getting to know what's actually going on. I pray for our hearts. I pray that you'd soften them. I pray that you would humble us and help us to realize we don't know everything. And that's a good thing. That's not something to be afraid of. Lord, I pray for the women who feel like people judge them. God, would you help them to not get resentful and angry, although that's so, so hard. Would you help them to stay focused on you and keep having a soft heart and keep reaching out, even though there have been some painful moments in the past. God, I pray that you would connect my younger listeners with older, wiser women to tell them what's actually going on and what they should really be worried about with parenting and what they need to just not worry about. God, in my experience, older women
believe a lie that they do not have anything to offer. And so I know I've got all range of listeners. So God, I just pray that you would help my older listeners to get out from under that baloney and pray about finding a younger girl to pour into and encourage. I pray that you would make paths cross this week that are just absolutely you at work among all the different generations. God, I pray finally for the woman who is in a place that she is not super down with. If it's motherhood, if it's a job situation, if it's a living situation, I pray that you would walk her through, what does that look like to grieve the way things were or the way I hoped things would be by now? Would you help her see what's beautiful about right now, the situation as it stands? And God, would you encourage her heart that you see her and that you are in this with her? Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.